From Australia and New Zealand to Europe and all the way to the United States, Palestine supporters shout in unison against Israel on the anniversary of its creation. Lebanese people are casting their ballots in key parliamentary elections as the country is struggling with a deep economic crisis. Also in the headlines, Finland's Prime Minister says the war in Ukraine means it's essential for her country to join NATO. That's why Russia warning Helsinki against abandoning its neutral status. This is World News. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. The top story, people taking to the streets in several countries in solidarity with Palestinians on the 74th anniversary of the creation of Israel, known as Nakba, or the Day of Catastrophe. Thousands hit the streets of Australia, New Zealand, and the United States carrying Palestinian flags. Rallies in the cities of Sydney, Melbourne, Auckland, San Francisco, and San Diego also chanted anti-Israel slogans. Nakba Day commemorates the forced expulsion of Palestinians from their homeland during the creation of Israel in 1948. Similar events were held in European cities, including London, Vienna, and Copenhagen on Saturday. European protesters also paid tribute to veteran Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Akla, who was killed by Israeli forces on Wednesday. Events are being organized throughout Palestine and globally. German capital Berlin has banned all public commemorations of Nakba, sparking criticism from pro-Palestinian groups.
Yet again, London streets have been brought to a standstill by pro-Palestinian activists calling for an end to Israeli crimes against humanity in the occupied territories. Such events are building momentum, and the calls for the last apartheid on earth to be dismantled are growing louder.
Atrocities are committed in the occupied Palestinian territories on a daily basis, from ethnic cleansing to murder. And for decades, Western media has managed to downplay the severity of the situation. But now, with social media and so many cameras recording the madness, it's almost impossible to bury the truth.
Only days earlier, a prominent Palestinian journalist died when she was shot in the face by Israeli forces. She was reporting on an army raid in the West Bank. Her death caused outrage, and scenes of her coffin bearers being beaten by Israelis made headlines. 229 rights groups have called for Israel to be held accountable for what they call a premeditated assassination. At Saturday's protest, Shirin Abu Akleh's life and work was honoured.
I feel that we have the duty to come here and to do that and to speak out. For example, just Shirin the other day was murdered, and all the reports, the news channels, they're reporting it as clashes. Even in her funeral, the clips that I saw were disgusting. And still, again, the way that they are being reported is as clashes. Now, Germany, they wanted to hold a protest for the murdered journalist, but Germany was not allowing them to do so.
There is a trade relation between Britain and Israel, which includes arms sales. So this country, Britain, buys armaments from Israel, which are being announced as tested on Palestinian people. So people always think that Britain is arming Israel, but it is not a one-way street. Britain is also buying arms from Israeli arms companies. And there are Israeli arms companies who are operating in Britain as well. They are producing in Britain.
A raft of new measures limiting public protest were recently added to the already controversial policing bill, and it might also become illegal to boycott, divest, and sanction entities like Israel, robbing public bodies of their right to make ethical decisions. It's the information age, and it remains to be seen how the UK hopes to maintain its democratic persona now that its grip on the media has loosened. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Well, that report, that's what's related to events held in several European cities yesterday on the occasion of Nakba Day. Now, let's go to inside the Palestinian-occupied land. We'll go to Ramallah. Mona Candela, correspondent, standing by. Let's go to Mona and say what's going on there on this May 15th, that the anniversary of the Nakba Day for Palestinians. Mona, over to you.
Well, every year on the 15th of May, Palestinians all across the occupied territories in Al-Quds, in Gaza Strip, as well as in the diaspora, all of them commemorate the anniversary of their Nakba catastrophe, that when Israeli Jewish gangs forced them out of their homes and lands in 1948 in order to allow for the creation of what's known now as Israel. It's a painful memory and event for the Palestinians because their ancestors, the refugees' ancestors, were forced out of their homes and their lands. Today, thousands of Palestinians, Palestinian refugees and Palestinians residents of the occupied West Bank cities have taken part in yet another protest here in the occupied city of Ramallah. Thousands of Palestinians first gathered at the shrine of late leader Yasser Arafat. Then they marched in the streets of Ramallah all the way to the downtown of the city around Al Manara Square. This area where Palestinians are gathering now. They are holding the maps of historical Palestine. They are holding also symbols of the keys of their ancestors' homes and their grandfathers' homes, written on their the billboards, let's say. Palestinians are insisting to return. The right of return is sacred. Nothing will make the Palestinian refugees forget about their right of return, regardless of the illegal practices continue to be committed by the Israeli forces, regardless of the aggression, regardless of the ethnic cleansing policies by the Israeli regime. We have also to mention that Palestinians who are still living in the lands occupied in 1948, they are still suffering, because the Israelis will never consider them as residents or citizens of the illegal so-called state of Israel. They are considered as Palestinians, Arabs, and a minority. They don't have the right of work, whatever they want to work. They don't get the appropriate, of course, education, because the Israeli regime continues to change the realities and change the history. We have also to mention that Palestinians continue to suffer up till the moment when they are not allowed to go to Al-Quds, to go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They don't have the freedom of worship. So at the end of the day, Palestinians today insist that every day for them is a Nakba, different form of catastrophe. As long as the Israeli occupation continues, then Palestinians will continue to suffer. But on the other hand, this would make them even more stronger, more adherent to their right of return, more adherent to their right to struggle. As we are speaking now, we are receiving, unfortunately, we have to mention this, that the Palestinian brother of Palestinian fighter known as Zakaria Zubaydi, he's a Palestinian prisoner, by the way, from Jenin, Dawood Zubaydi, was wounded several days ago in Jenin during an operation to Jenin. And he was transferred to Israeli hospital. Unfortunately, now he succumbed to his injuries. There were warnings by the Israeli regime, by Israeli officials, we heard yesterday that some Israeli Knesset members from the settlers were warning that they will go to the Israeli hospital where Dawood al-Zubaydi was, and they will prevent them to rescue his life, because for them, he's a Palestinian fighter and he deserves to die. Unfortunately, now he succumbed to his injuries.
And Mona, it doesn't stop there, as you have been reporting for us. They kill those Palestinians and then they go and identify their homes in their hometowns and villages, and then they destroy their homes too, right?
Well, yes, that's right. Palestinians who are accused by the Israeli forces that they committed any anti-Israel operation, or even Palestinians who try to carry out an anti-Israel operation, they would be immediately killed at the spot or being arrested by the Israeli forces. And at the same time, the Israeli soldiers would raid this village where the Palestinian activists are from. And then the Israeli forces would arrest all family members, interrogate them. And finally, the decision would be destroying this Palestinian activist home. The Israeli regime continues to say that it's an Israeli attempt to terrify other Palestinians, to prevent them from following the footsteps of other Palestinian activists or fighters. But they are mistaken, as every time we see more Palestinian activists, more Palestinians being engaged in the different forms of resistance and struggle, more Palestinians are insisting to fight the Israeli soldiers and bring the Israeli occupation to an end, regardless of that, regardless of the fact that their family members would be arrested, regardless of the fact that their homes would be destroyed, regardless of the fact that these Palestinians might not be killed by the Israelis and would be arrested and spending life sentences. It's not only one life sentence. The Israeli court give Palestinians multiple life sentences. This means in jail. This means that even if the Palestinian prisoner passes away inside the Israeli jail, then his body would be arrested, would remain with the Israeli regime till finishing or ending his sentence, even if this would mean 70 years and over 100 years, then the people would not have the right to bury their beloved ones.
And Mona, tell us also about how the Palestinian people feel about what some fellow Arab and Muslim countries have done. I mean, instead of standing by Palestinian side, some of them have signed so-called normalization deals with the Tel Aviv regime. Tell us how Palestinians feel about this, and they shouldn't have any hopes on these states, should they?
Well, we have to say that Palestinians have so long known that there were kind of relations between some Arab states and the Israeli regime. But all these relations were under the table. In the last few years, however, those states declared about public relations, normalization, and they were speaking openly about normalization. Then there was the signing of the agreements between those states and the Israeli regime. And then we saw those those Arab leaders visiting Israel, and the same thing, Israeli officials were visiting those Arab states. Of course, Palestinians again and again felt it's a stab in their back. At the time, they were fighting alone the Israeli occupation. At the time, they were doing their utmost in order to keep the cause of the Palestinians alive. The Arab states left them alone. They chose to stand, unfortunately, with the Israeli regime, with the occupier, and left the Palestinians alone. Palestinians say that if they cannot do something else, they could at least not declare about this normalization. If they do not have the will to come and fight, let's say, with the Palestinians or to continue supporting them, then at least not to declare about this normalization. But on the contrary, they were normalizing with the Israeli occupation. They were receiving those Israeli officials and Israeli ministers as their allies, their friends. So it was clear for the Palestinians, another stab in the back. They do not expect anything from them now. That even for them, condemnations are not enough, will do nothing, will change nothing. Nothing will change for the Palestinians unless they see, a clearer position, ending immediately this normalization. pulling back their ambassadors from the occupiers' state, and clearly saying that they chose to support the Palestinians and not the Israeli regime. And I think, or Palestinians think here, this will not happen, because at the end of the day, what's most important for those Arab states is their will and their interests, of course.
Okay, and Mona, there was also another aspect to the crimes that the Tel Aviv regime has been committing against the Palestinians, and that's maybe this is only a characteristic of the Tel Aviv regime, and that's hitting of the journalists. Just recently, we had Shirin Abu Akleh, who was targeted, and that was no accident. It was not an accident, as also witnessed by a number of other journalists and people who were there at the site when that happened. And I don't remember anywhere else such a thing happening, hitting journalists or covering the stories, and hitting even medics, paramedics. Tell us about that, too.
It's never been a mistake or an accident. What happened in Jenin on that day is that a group of Palestinian journalists were covering the Israeli incursion to Jenin refugee camp. Clearly, those Palestinian prisoners were wearing the flak jacket, the vest written on it, clearly press, and they were wearing as well their helmets. So everything was clear that they were journalists. At the same time, there were no civilians around them. There were no Palestinian fighters around them, as the Israelis have said or claimed. There was only Israeli soldiers in that area. Immediately when the Palestinian journalists arrived there, Shirin Abu Akleh was one of them, Israeli soldiers opened fire towards them. At that moment, they decided to leave, but they couldn't.
Okay, Mona, thank you so much for the coverage from Ramallah. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners of Listeners Special, and welcome to this week's edition of this program. Of course, on this beautiful Sunday, May 15th, 2022, I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Warm greetings to you all, and as you know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. So here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Juan Coba from Spain, and Bill McDavid from the US. So, Bashir, Bill, and Juan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your program, of course, Listeners Special. And of course, here we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails, including an email from Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Eddie is one of our regular listeners. Of course, from India, we've received an email from Pradeep Chandra Kanda, one of our old and regular listeners. From Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratovara, one of our regular listeners. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany has sent us an email. And Mickey Delmage from Canada, of course, has sent us an email, which I will read these emails after a short break. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Listeners Special, and Eddie Witanto from Indonesia has sent us an email. Eddie says, firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Almost every day, I tune into the IRIB English Radio because a variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society are presented in the programs, and they are very interesting. Best regards from Indonesia. Salam and warm greetings from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRIB English Radio to Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Eddie, thank you very much for sending us such a nice email. And thank you for letting us know your opinion about our broadcast. As you said, almost every day you tune in to the IRIB English Radio because it broadcasts a variety of topics and issues about the Iranian culture and society. And that's great. It made my day. I mean, this email. Thank you very much. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification. Please write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, one of our great and regular listeners. And from India, We've received an email from Pradeep Chandra Kanda, one of our regular listeners. So let's see what Pradeep says. Pradeep says, "Dear friends, warm greetings from India. This is my communication after a long time, actually. IRIB English radio programs have not been audible well here for many days. Same experience with your other services too. I thought IRIB was gradually preparing to leave the shortwave forever, as many other stations had already done. Anyway, last evening I could listen your English program considerably well. I was really surprised. I at once decided to submit you a reception report. Kindly check the contents of this report with attached audio clips. I would appreciate your QSL verification card in return if it satisfies you. With best regards and best wishes." Salam and warm greetings to you, Pradeep Chandra Kanda from India. And thank you very much for sending us this email. So for many days, you had the problem in receiving IRIB English radio signals. I don't know why. Of course, we will let our technicians and engineers know about this problem which happened in your region, Pradeep. What a pity that you couldn't receive the signals of IRIB English radio. Anyway, we will let our technicians and engineers know about this problem, and thank God you could finally receive the signals of IRIB English radio. That's great. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification. Thank you very much for letting us know about this problem. And thank you very much for letting us know here about you again, Pradeep Chandra from India. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And at any time you had the problem in receiving the signals, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And then, after fixing the problem, you can refer to the shortwave. Write to us soon, Pradeep Chandra. So, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we've received an email from Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So let's see what Kurt Ettlinger says. "Dear sir or madam of the team of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, as a DX Sing fan, I scanned my radio dial and I found your frequency. I listened to the news and commentary about the Saudi war in Yemen and your support, which was very informative. I found your programs very interesting and full of information, especially your broadcast lecture of the Islamic Society. I hope I would be able to find more secondary frequencies of your station. So I would be very grateful to you if you can send me a QSL card or an EQSL for my reception report. Thank you in advance." Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, from Tehran, and from IRIB English Radio. To you, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. Please accept our appreciations for sending us this email and for letting us know your views and opinions about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. As you said, you could catch the program, the news and commentary about the Saudi war in Yemen, and your support, which you found it very informative, yes. IRIB English Radio always tries to cover up the world developments and the developments in the world which most Western media don't cover it. For example, the Saudi war in Yemen, the Saudi war, the Saudi-led war, the US-backed war in Yemen, which is not covered up by most Western media. So We here in IRIB English Radio, as I said, try to cover all the issues, almost all the issues which is happening around the world in an unbiased, non-partial way. And that's great that you can receive the signals of IRIB English Radio and let us know your opinion about this broadcast. So it was great that you found the programs of IRIB English Radio very interesting and very informative. As you said, you found it full of information. And it seems that you listen to the broadcast lecture of the Islamic Society, and that's great. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card, an electronic QSL card as a verification, because sending a paper QSL card is not possible at the moment because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, thank you very much for sending us this email and letting us know your views about our broadcast. Write to us soon. And from Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratvara. So Olof says, greetings from Finland. I am a 53-year-old DXer. I'm very happy of finding your English program. I like to listen shortwave stations, collect stamps, and play chess in a club. I have sent my reception reports to you, English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you for your programs. I should be very pleased to receive your verification. Salam and warm greetings to you, Olof, from Finland. Thank you very much for writing to us. You wrote about your hobbies. You like DXing. You like receiving shortwave stations and collecting stamps and playing chess in a club, as you said. And that's great, Olof. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. So Mickey Delmage from Canada has sent us an email. Mickey says, dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings from Canada. I would like to tell you of my reception of your radio recently and would be very much appreciated to receive your verification QSL card. If available, I would like to add a sticker or logo souvenir of your station to my collection. I have noticed that although your signal is strong, the voice modulation is low, making listening challenging at times. I hope your engineering department will be able to correct this problem. I do hope you will be able to verify much reception with your QSL card. Thank you very much for your kind time. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mickey Delmage from Canada. And please accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this email. And thank you very much for letting us know about the quality of the programs. As you said, the signal was strong, but the voice modulation was low. Of course, my colleagues will soon fix this problem. I let my colleagues know about this problem and they will soon fix it. Thank you very much for letting us know about this problem. So my colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card as a confirmation and verification. But regarding your request for sending you a sticker or logo souvenir of IRIB English Radio, sending any promotional item or material at the time of pandemic is not possible on behalf of IRIB English Radio. Please, at the time being, accept our eQSL card. But in the future, after the pandemic, we, of course, will soon send you a sticker, logo, souvenir, or promotional items of IRIB English Radio to you. Write to us soon, Mickey Delmage from Canada. Thank you again for sending us this email. Thank you. And here we reach to the end of this week's Listeners Special. But before wrapping up the program, again, I do send my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us emails, letters, and reception reports, including Olof Ratovara from Finland, Eddie Vitanto from Indonesia, Pradeep Chandra Kanda from India, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, Juan Koba from Spain, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Bill McDavid from the US, and Mickey Delmash from Canada. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello, welcome to The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tahlai. Nakba Day is marked by Palestinians in the world every year on May 15th. The anniversary of the day Israel was created and landed in Palestine, taking away land from Palestinians and expelling hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their land. In this edition of the program, we will look at the significance of Nakba Day this year, why it is happening at a special time, and whether Israel, labeled an apartheid regime, is fast moving in not being recognized in the international arena due to its continuous violations. First, let me introduce our guests for this edition of The Spotlight. Director of the Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought, Zafar Bangash, joins us from Toronto. We also have human rights activist and member of Manchester Palestine Action, Adi Mormick, who joins us from Manchester.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
I'd like to welcome you both, and if I may first start with you, Zafar Bangash, taking a look at what this day Nakba is. Can you give us a quick background check, or should I say history check, as to why it's called Nakba and what your thoughts are on that in terms of a historical perspective?
Well, Nakba means catastrophe, and this is an expression that the Palestinians have given to what happened to them in May of 1948, when Zionist marauding gangs attacked more than 400 Palestinian villages and towns in Palestine, and not only ethnically cleansed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, something like 750,000 to a million Palestinians, but also murdered a number of them. We are all familiar with Deir Yassin, where these war criminals like Ariel Sharon, Yitzhak Shamir, Menachem Begin, these war criminals were all involved in perpetrating horrible crimes against the Palestinian people. And literally, of course, those 750 to a million Palestinians that were expelled, they have now, of course, now increased to something like 5-6 million, many of them in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, and other countries around the world. But the important point is that the Palestinians have not forgotten their tragedy, and every year they commemorate Nakba Day to make sure that their future generations continue to remember that their land has been stolen from them, that alien invaders from Europe and North America invaded their land and have illegally settled on that land, and they unfortunately continue to do so even today. But the circumstances are changing, because we see that the manner in which the Zionists continue their brutality, the Palestinians have not given up. They have not become cowed down. So the important point to keep in mind is that while the Palestinians commemorate their Nakba Day, the Zionists have already lost the battle, because the one factor that they wanted to impose on the Palestinians, that is to terrorize them, to instill fear in them, the Palestinians have not been terrorized. They have not been submitted out of fear. And so the fact that they are willing to resist their occupiers already means that the Palestinians have won. And I believe that the day is not far away when this Zionist alien entity would be removed from occupied Palestine.
Okay, Eddie Murbeck, you as an human rights activist and also a member, as I'm reading here, of Manchester Palestine Action, you have a direct account and experience with what Palestinians have gone through in terms of their suffering. And perhaps you can tell us about that, in particular, your experiences in the Gaza Strip, and then tell us your perspective as to the way the Palestinians have suffered. Okay, we're having some connection problems with you. Let me go to you, Zafar Bangash. So when you take a look at this particular Nakba, of which you said that, Israel is losing legitimacy, perhaps at least based on recent memory, there haven't been so many incidents that have happened consecutively in a row that have catapulted the plight of Palestinians across the minds of people around the world. Because we had the month of Ramadan, we had what happened with the violation at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and then in turn, the heavy-handed tactics that Israelis used against the Palestinians. You had the couple instances where you had Palestinians that came out and showed their anger. Unfortunately, some lives, Israeli lives, were lost. And then you had what happened with this reporter who was assassinated in the form and manner that she did. And also you had the Al-Quds rallies. 2 years with the COVID lockdown, people had a chance finally to come out and show their support for Palestinians. All of these put together, do you think that there's a new momentum that is now present, that maybe it's time for their for this to be taken to another level?
Oh, absolutely. What you have outlined is exactly the situation as we find today. And in fact, the fact that the Palestinians have not given up hope, the fact that they have not given up their struggle, and you know, you mentioned that you know, Shirin Abu Akleh was martyred, assassinated, you know, outside Jenin refugee camp. Now, Jenin is a hotbed of resistance in Palestine. In fact, there are a number of other areas as well, but Jenin in particular, and it has a very long history. In fact, it was the 20th anniversary of their uprising when the 20 years ago, the Zionists perpetrated brutal massacres in Jenin, and yet the people of Jenin have not surrendered. They have not been cowed down. I also want to point out the fact that over the last few months, there have been a number of reports published by international human rights organizations, that includes Amnesty International, that includes Human Rights Watch, that includes even the UN Human Rights Council, that have published reports. And in fact, only last month, Professor Michael Link, who was the special rapporteur for Palestine, UN rapporteur for Palestine, who's a Canadian professor, they published reports, all of them, including incidentally B'Tselem, which is an Israeli human rights organization. They have all pointed out that Israel is an apartheid regime. And this thing itself, this designation itself, is now gaining ground worldwide. And we also see that the fact that the Palestinians are standing up, rising up, they're not giving up their rights, they are determined to resist their occupiers, clearly indicates that there is now a new level of resistance that has emerged among the Palestinians. And so the Zionists themselves are terrified. A few days ago, the former Israeli prime minister, and he also used to be the Israeli army chief, Ehud Barak, actually issued a statement. It is incredible that he said that, "I'm not so sure that Israel would be able to celebrate its 80th anniversary of independence." Now, that's an incredible statement to make, coming from a figure as high up as a former prime minister and a former army chief, which indicates that there is a new reality, a ground reality.
Hold on to that thought, because I have the statement that he said, Zafar Bangash, and I'd like to elaborate on that statement with you, since you brought it up. But since we have Eddie Mormick back, Eddie Mormick, welcome back. My question to you is the direct experience that you have had firsthand, seeing the Palestinians and how they suffer. Perhaps you can elaborate on that for us and describe to us what you saw and what you experienced. And I'm talking in particular in the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Gaza for 2 years, and I was a teacher in the university there, the Al-Aqsa University. Two of my students were killed. One of them, her entire family were killed. Her two little babies, her mother and her father-in-law and husband, all killed with one bomb. I taught a family that lost 29 members of their extended family in 3 days, the Samouni family, during the bombing of 2008-09. And I taught them a year later when they were still living in the chicken coop just by their house that had been obliterated, as had all their houses, as had so many of their family members. When you knock on a door in Gaza and you ask where they're from, they will tell you a place that doesn't exist anymore. They'll tell you Mejdel or Bejerja or Barbara or many of the villages that no longer exist because of the Nakba. They are continuously living in Gaza, which is the largest refugee camp in the world, 1.2 million people in one of the most crowded places on the planet. And they are surrounded by Israeli jets in the sky. If you go in Gaza, you have F-16s in the sky and drones regularly bombing and surveilling the country. You have the gunships on the horizon in the sea, which is actually destroying the fishing industry. The kids who go and look out to the horizon on the sea might have dreams and hopes, and yet they see Israeli gunships controlling the sea borders. And then on the land borders, if you go there, you see the snipers and the tanks and the jeeps lining along the frontier with Israel there in Gaza. And that is the land area where people are regularly shot merely for going to school or farming in the most arable land, which they can no longer do because of the level of atrocities that are inflicted at the border. Not to mention the regular bombings. And I was there during the bombing of Gaza, and we saw kids after children and many parents coming in to the intensive care unit, being rolled around with dust coming off them. And this is the sharp edge of Israeli brutality. And what's more, this is the ongoing Nakba. because these people are victims of the 1948 Nakba. Most of them are refugees, United Nations registered refugees. And you're seeing it now. This is not finished. The most recent announcement, the decision by the Israeli court that Masafarata, which is eight hamlets, communities just south of Nablus in the West Bank, that's going to be ethnically cleansed. The ethnic cleansing continues. So whereas Gaza has been made into this horrific medieval siege and a completely blockaded territory of a population that is mostly children, right now you're seeing across the rest of Palestine some utterly horrific shows of brutality. And what I would say is, for me in Gaza and for Palestinians and for those that have been well acquainted with the Palestinian issue, we are not surprised, sadly, by the level of brutality. We are not surprised. But instead, we are seeing so many people around the world shocked by what's seen on the funeral of Shireen Abu Akleh. And when people are being pushed around and beaten with batons, and you're getting Gary Lineker and Piers Morgan, famous people in England, sharing it. 11 million people seeing that brutality. For us, we've seen it again and again and again. You're seeing Palestinians right now being forced out of another house in Hebron. And yet, right now, people around the world are seeing full on the level of Israeli brutality that is inflicted on so many Palestinians. And that is the ongoing Nakba. But what I would say is, as the other gentleman said, people are waking up. There is no question. When you get famous people sharing it and 11 million seeing that horrific episode with the funeral of Shireen Abu Akleh, you are seeing a massive change. And there is a youth movement in England. We're talking about what Israel said. They said that the young ones will forget, the old will die and the young ones will forget. Well, believe me, the youth in Manchester here, we have a big Nakba demonstration tomorrow. And it's the youth leading it. So they are not forgetting. They will carry on. And the world is changing right now. And they are changing every year. Just like May last year with the mass murder of 250 Palestinians, 67 kids in 10 days. This May, you have the Nakba again. And you have a journalist being killed in cold blood. And media is finally having to report it. People are waking up. And this is another sea change. Things are changing rapidly. You're seeing it with the Amnesty report. You're seeing it, as you say, with even Israeli ex-generals speaking out against what's happening. This is real. And finally, right, we might see an ex-apartheid Israel, the system of horrific oppression against the Palestinians, just like we have seen the end of apartheid in South Africa. And I don't think it's that far away. The world is changing. People are waking up now.
Zafar Bangash, so you hear A.D. Mormick there, and I'm not too sure the energy that he that comes out of him, that exudes, that brings out what the truth, unfortunate truth, is. And it's very inspiring. Listen to what he is saying. And he's not that old. And so we're seeing this type of knowledge has been transferred into action, in his case, to have gone into Gaza and to have taught there. And obviously, the word is being spread around. It's very promising, but at the same time, when you take a look at the track record, things are not moving in favor of Palestinians. So there needs to be a tidal wave to take over that. What can be done to build again on the momentum that I talked about a little bit earlier?
Well, first of all, I think I must compliment your other guest for his solidarity with the Palestinian people and spending 2 years in Gaza, which is, as you said, is an open-air prison. And this is to his great credit, and this shows his humanity and compassion in support of the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people. With respect to the struggle of the Palestinian people and the momentum, I think we need to understand that more and more people worldwide are now waking up to the reality of the absolute brutality of the Zionists. And people are no longer willing to buy into this Zionist propaganda that it's a besieged state, that it is a beleaguered state, etc. What is also important to keep in mind is that Zionist crimes are basically underwritten by the United States of America. And the United States itself is now going through into a tailspin. It is losing grip. It is losing wars. In fact, since the Second World War, the United States has not won a single war that it has been engaged in. Last year, it was driven out of Afghanistan. It's not got its way in many other parts of the world. So what we are beginning to see is, and now we also see that the U.S. is grappling with Russia. It's in fact waging a proxy war in Ukraine, but it's not getting its way. And there are countries that are rising up that are challenging U.S. Imperialist designs. And if the U.S. is brought to its knees, and I think that that day is also not far because its mainstay is the U.S. dollar. And I think there are indications that when more than 50% of the countries of the world do not use the U.S. dollar, that would be the end of the U.S. itself. So if the U.S. economy collapses, which is an underwriter of the Zionist crimes, then obviously the Zionist regime would wither away. And of course, internally also, there are a lot of fissures in the Israeli society. You know, last year when the Zionists were bombarding the Gaza Strip for 11 days, and when the Israeli rulers asked to enter or send ground forces into Gaza, the military commanders refused. They said that we cannot do it because we cannot fight on multiple fronts. What they were referring to was that not only was it the people of Gaza, but people in the West Bank and also the Green Line, which is 1948 Palestine,
right.
The people were rising up and their military commander said that this situation we cannot control. And so now we see that within the Palestinian community, the Palestinians under occupation are in fact getting united, rising up, and they are confronting the Zionist bullets and guns and tanks with their bare hands and with stones. That, I think, is a very, very hopeful sign, and that definitely would lead to the elimination of this monstrous Zionist ideology and the liberation of Palestine.
Sure. I'd like to ask from you, Eddie Mormick, if I can test your memory here and go back to when you had the March of Return protests that were taking place, which wasn't too long ago. And basically, one of the things that stood out there was the way that Israel was targeting the protesters. And amongst them were journalists that were killed. Amongst them, there were, medics that were targeted. And, of course, you had children that were killed, and you had many who were wounded. Many people think that Israel was doing that in its self-defense. But perhaps you can open that up for us and paint the reality of what was going on there and what that meant. At least that's one of the things that stands out when it comes to the plight of Palestinians and the resistance.
At some point, there will be proper investigations into all of these deaths. When during the Great Return March, you remember Yasser Mataja, who was a journalist who I actually met quite a lot in Gaza, who was killed with his press top on then. That was 2018, the same time as also Razan al-Najjar, the medic, full medical clothing, who'd gone to attend some of those injured merely for protesting. When I was there in Gaza, we were marching free to march at the border areas where hundreds were there, and they were marching with their flags, marching towards the borders, and you had jeeps picking them off one by one. Ahmed Deeb, a 20-year-old, was killed right next to me, merely for marching. And I was saying to them, well, you're going to get shot if you get any closer. And he said, I'd rather die standing than die my bed, because that's the choice young 20-year-old guys have in Gaza. And in terms of investigations, well, guess what? Yasser Mataja and Razan al-Najjar, young people with futures who were skilled at their jobs, medics and journalists, were wiped out without trace, without investigation. Imagine if it was people who were in right now, Ukrainians who were getting bombed, and if they were being shot, medics and journalists, where would it be? It would be all over the news. It would be all over the world. We can't have double standards. Palestinians have the same rights as anybody else. Palestinian parents grieve the same as anybody else. They have been living this for 74 years. And so, just like the Goldstone report was about the family that I taught, the Samouni family, 29 members of their extended family murdered. And that was mostly children. And that was in 3 days, for goodness sake. And yet the Goldstone report said that these were probable war crimes, and nothing. There was no accountability. Finally, we are getting International Criminal Court changes. Finally, the United Nations is saying a little bit more. Even finally, some Western governments are starting to speak up a little bit, including, of course, the United Nations saying that some goods would be sanctioned as a big list. So it's all incremental. It will only lead to one place eventually, and that is that any apartheid regime, any regime that is purposefully and set out to oppress not only a large bunch of the local people, but the original indigenous population of Palestinians who have been there for thousands.